We now turn to our Bible reading this morning, which comes from Luke. We're talking about the message of Christmas, fear not, the angel speaking to Mary, fear not, Mary, and Dion is going to bring the reading.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. Chapter and verse, sorry, Luke 1:26, page 1078 in the church Bibles. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit, it will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dion. Would like to kind of teach you a word, because it describes what's going on in the world so well. It's a word that comes, we use in Zimbabwe, South Africa, Southern Africa. And the word is chemos. Chemos. Now, I don't know if you can say that, but in a way, sometimes if you say the word, it makes you feel better. So, let me tell you what chemos means. Chemos means the world is, well, I'm looking in terms of what's going on in world politics right now. It's just a mess, but it's even more than a mess. It's like a mess times mess. So that's a good word to use in a world that's going crazy. Chemos. Do you want to try and say it? Chemos. Well, yeah, chemos, right? It's a strong word. It's a strong word that describes what's going on. And when you look, if you've been looking at what's going on this week, in all kinds of places, there's no question that politics at the moment is a chemos. There's no way else to describe it. It's a chemos. It's a mess. If you've been watching what's going on in Parliament and Brexit, you will have seen that it's just going out of control. Reminds me, as we read on Wednesday night, when the riot occurred in the book of Acts with the Ephesians, that everybody came together, everybody was rioting and complaining, and some were shouting one thing, some were shouting another, but most of the people didn't even know what they were shouting about. And in a way, I got that sense this week that that's what was happening here with Brexit. We are really entering a stage of total confusion, and it's just a chemos. It's a mess. And as I look at that, and as I see what's going on there, just by the way, we don't know what the answer is, but I think it is time that we begin to pray more in our prayer meetings, Monday morning, Wednesday night, for our Prime Minister. I think over the next few weeks and months, she really needs our prayer and support, because I don't know. I don't know exactly what's right and what's wrong, but she seems to be the only one right now that seems to be trying to get things on the right track. So whatever that means, we should pray for her. But it's a chemos. We know that. And I don't know if they're going to be easy answers. If you look across the channel, you'd have seen in the last couple of weeks that the president of France came up with this idea, and I'm from Africa. I grew up in Africa, and even I know historically that it's never a good idea to give either the French or the Germans a strong control over military power in Europe. It doesn't work historically. It doesn't. It doesn't. It's not a good idea, believe me. And I'm from Africa and I know that. Now the two want to get together and create a military force that they will have management and control over. I'm telling you now, historically, it's not a good idea. It's not. Whatever they say, it's not a good idea. It doesn't work when France or Germany are running strong military powers. It's good that they work with everybody else, but when they do it on their own, it's crazy. And so, again, you're seeing people saying crazy things. You switch on the news last night, and I was stunned at what's happening in Paris. The riots, the violence, it's really getting out of control. It's a chaos. It's a mess. You look across the Atlantic, and you look at what's happening on the southern border with America, and there again, it's a chaos. It's a mess. Caravans of people, thousands of people, barbed wire, getting stuck in no man's land, and nobody quite knowing what to do with everybody. And it's just a disaster. And in all of this, what happens is uncertainty is created, is generated. And in uncertainty comes close on the heels a sense of fear. And I've begun to see that. I listen to the radio, sometimes the London talk radio, LBC I think it's called. And sometimes when I'm in the car, I listen to it. Fascinating. And you get a sense of what people are thinking. And in the last few days, I've picked up there's a lot of concern, real concern, and a bit of fear about the future coming in. And when you look around, you get that sense wherever you look, there's a fear of losing control in America, of losing sovereignty of their nation. Here in England, there's a fear of Europe manipulating Brexit, and then there's a fear of if we don't go with Europe, we're going to be isolated from Europe, and that's not going to be good. And there's kind of a fear that comes on the heels of all this uncertainty. And so it's quite significant then that at the heart of the Christmas message is the message from heaven, from God himself, to the people, and the message is, do not fear. Do not fear. That's the message that comes. In Luke chapter 1, we read just now that the angel came to Mary, and his salutation to Mary was, do not be afraid, Mary, at what is happening. Do not be afraid, you who are highly favored. You are amazing. You are special. And God knows your name, Mary, and you are going to be blessed. And the child that you now have is conceived by the Holy Spirit, will come and will be to save the world from their sins. And you are to call him Jesus. Do not be afraid, Mary. Same message comes to Joseph. Joseph, the angel says to him, Joseph, do not be afraid. Joseph, son of David, bringing the prophecy together. There's something prophetic here, Joseph. Son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For what is happening, God is going to do something amazing. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, you get to the point where the angel comes to the shepherds outside Bethlehem. And the angel says to the shepherds, they were terrified and they were frightened. And the angel says to them, he says to the shepherds, do not be afraid. Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. Do not be afraid, for unto you this day in the city of David is born to you a child, a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. Do not be afraid. That message that comes out of the Old Testament and the New Testament, that comes especially at the time of Christmas and in the Advent season, is a message that says to us, God's people, no matter what is going on in the world, no matter what the chemos is around, we do not need to fear. Because the same message that was given to Mary, the same message that was given to Joseph, the same message that was given to the shepherds, is the same message given to God's people today. Do not fear. Jesus himself would endorse that message. Jesus himself would say that. I remember a preacher once asked, how many God plans? I like this story. I like this question. And it was this. How many God-given dreams have you and I left unreached because fear gripped us, paralyzed us, even crippled us? How many God-given dreams have you and I left unreached because fear gripped us, paralyzed us, and crippled us? Preacher went on, how many God plans with your name and my name written on them have gone unreached because fear was allowed to grip hold of us? God calls us unequivocally, without question. God calls us in the Old and the New Testament to leave the dark shadowlands of fear and walk in his glorious way of light and salvation. Do we really appreciate that, what the Bible is calling us to? To leave the dark shadowlands of fear and walk in his glorious way of light and salvation. Isaiah 41 says it so well. Anderson, might be good to get it up. Isaiah 41, starting at verse 1. Going through to verse 10. And in verse 10 it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah gets it. What Isaiah is saying to us is that when we are feeling tempted to get caught up in the growing fear of the political world, or the uncertainty that is around us, or in our own individual lives, or we even feeling afraid of going and striving for those goals that God has given us, when that starts to happen, we need to be reminded that God says to us, do not fear. Isaiah 41 says it so well. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God, and I will strengthen you. And so what Isaiah is saying is, he's saying we are to overcome fear with the strength of God, with God's strength. We've got to employ God's strength in our lives to overcome the fear that sometimes will cripple us and will bring us down. And so the next question is then, how do I find the strength? Where do I draw on the strength? What well do I go to that I might drink of the water of the strength of God, that I might walk into the week ahead of me with strength that overcomes fear? How do I do that? And Isaiah says it so well in 41. He says this, first of all, the strength in verse 1 comes from waiting silently upon God. Wait silently. That is a powerful word in this day of noise. Someone earlier on, Anderson, talked about drowning out the white noise of this age. Keep silence before me. Sometimes we've got to take time out and just be still and know that God is God. Be still, the Lord says, and know that I am God. And we say we know it, yes, we must do it, but it's often until the Lord actually puts us aside and we can't even move because of flu or something that we realize that sometimes the power of silence is really where the power is. The power of being still, the ability to be able to pray and to be able to catch our breath and to be still and silent before the God. Keep silence before me. And let the people what renew their strength. You want to have the strength to overcome the fear. If you are feeling afraid, if you are feeling unsure, the beginning of facing that and drawing the strength to overcome that is by being still before God. Finding time with Him in quietness, in silence, listening for His voice, waiting for His presence, learning from Him, hearing from Him. Be silent before me. Not only does Isaiah say you'll find the strength to overcome fear in silence and in waiting on God. Isaiah says this. He says silence and strength also will come when we come together and encourage one another. If we go on, Anderson, you'll see that where he says, let the people speak to each other. Let neighbor encourage neighbor. Let brother encourage brother. In the encouragement of your neighbor, and when your brother is encouraged and you say, be of good courage, it is there that you will find the strength to overcome the fear that begins to grip us and begins to cripple us and begins to paralyze us when we seek to serve God. Yesterday, I watched it was an incredible game of rugby between South Africa. And I always talk about it. It's just the autumn season. It's finished now. You won't need to hear any more rugby stories for a while. But they were playing so well yesterday. And Wales outplayed South Africa. They played brilliantly. They played with such strength, such confidence. It was a brilliant test match. And both sides played with dignity. And I love a game like that. But I want to tell you that when the prop forward from Wales was given the ball and he was about 5 yards away from the try line, and he had the South African pack, which is world renowned for its defense and its strength, what carried him, what took him step by step, what carried him over so that he could put the ball down over the line wasn't just his skill and his strength. I could hear it. It was the crowd. I've never heard the crowd lift a player and carry him over the line like I heard it yesterday. It's the truth. That Welsh crowd carried that player for the first try. The encouragement that he received from his supporters took him over the line. And in a sense, that's what Isaiah is saying. He's saying we need to help each other. We need to help our neighbors, and we need to encourage one another and say, be of good courage. When we come to church on a Sunday like this, we should be encouraging one another. We should be like that crowd in Cardiff Stadium yesterday. You should be finding people saying to you, brother, go for it this week. Get back into your work and go with confidence, and we will pray with you. And thank you for all that you're doing out there. Don't be discouraged. Don't be crippled by anything. Go for it. And this should be our cheerleading section. You should leave here today carried by the crowd, neighbor against neighbor, neighbor with neighbor, brother with brother. Encourage one another. Take each other over the line. That's the grace of encouragement. It's a spiritual gift, the gift of encouragement. Encourage each other over the line. Be of good courage. Your strength comes in waiting in silence, says Isaiah, before God. But it also comes from encouraging one another. Taking one another over that line, scoring that try, and we are there with you. And when you succeed, we cheer with thankfulness and with encouragement. And that's where you draw your strength from to fight the fear. That's why coming to church is so important. That's why encouraging one another is so important. God, give us a spirit of encouragement. Make us like that Cardiff Stadium, that we encourage each other, support each other, and carry each other over the line by God's grace. We can do that. We can be a people like that. Yeah, amen, amen. You know, there's a picture I see sometimes. I watch documentaries, and there's this huge aircraft carrier that goes around the world called the Ronald Reagan. And it's just like, its power is immense. It's a mighty ship of war from the American Navy. And it's just incredible what it's got. The technology, the missiles, the airplanes. It's just, you wouldn't believe how powerful this thing is. It's incredibly powerful warship. But when I was watching a documentary on it the other day, I saw in the front of the ship, it's got a motto. And it's kind of engraved very beautifully. And the motto in the front of the warship, so whenever the sailors come on board, they see engraved the motto of the warship. They see what they stand for. And the motto says this: peace through strength. Peace through strength. And in a way, that's what we should be like as God's people. We should be people bringing peace through God's strength wherever we go. We should be like that aircraft carrier when we go into our workplace, when we go into different situations that affect us, or when we are encouraging a community that's buckling because they're afraid of what's going on in the world, and when we see silly ideas being put out there by politicians. We should be a people with confidence who have peace and bring peace, the message of hope, the message of salvation through strength. But we have to have God's strength to do that. And we receive God's strength by waiting on Him in silence and from encouraging one another. If we don't encourage each other, we're not going to be carried over that line. We've got to have that encouragement. We've got to be a people that encourages one another in the name of Jesus. We have to be in this day and age. That's where we get the strength. We also find that, and I love this, that verse that we began with, that I will uphold you. Do not be afraid. I uphold you with my powerful right hand. And it's not just a right hand, it's a righteous right hand. And it reminds me that righteous right hand that was held to the cross, that was nailed to the cross. And that righteousness was sacrificed on that cross so that I, by grace, might receive the imputed righteousness of Christ in my life, that God can engage with me, not because of anything I've done, but because of that cross. The strength that we have to overcome fear is found on the cross itself, on the righteous right hand of God, nailed to the cross, that my sin, my brokenness is crippled on the cross, and His strength and His righteousness upholds me in strength. I am upheld by waiting in silence before God. I'm upheld by the encouragement of my brothers and sisters in Christ. But most of all, I am upheld by the righteous right hand of Christ that died for me, that I might come before God and engage with Him. You know, we should know this. Just like the Christmas angel said, we should not fear. We should not fear. We must not fear. Just like Isaiah said, we must not fear. And Joshua said in his last message to the people of Israel, fear not, God will be with you. If you respect Him, if you honor Him, He will be with you. In all of these things, right through the Old and the New Testament, Jesus Himself said to His disciples, don't fear. I go before you. I've got this. I've got your concern. I've got your fear. I've got your fear of death. I'm ahead of you. I prepare a place for you. Do not fear. When it is ready, I'll come and I will be with you. There's no fear in the Old Testament. No place for fear in the New Testament. You know, it's like a cockroach. I don't know. if we get many cockroaches here. I guess we may do, but in tropical lands, in Africa, you can get cockroaches. And cockroaches like to come out in the dark. They're like little creatures that find their way in. And they're horrible. You just don't want cockroaches around, but they sometimes get through the doorways or whatever. And, you know, sometimes if there's a cockroach, the best way to sort the cockroach out isn't to kill it or whatever. Sometimes you try, because there's 100 others not far away. What you do is you shine light on it. You put the lights on, and you shine light. And when the lights come on, they can't carry, they can't handle light, and they scurry, and they run into the darkness. And in a way, that's what God is saying. He's saying, let the strength of God, let the word of God, the light of salvation, the hope of God's message, shine on the cockroaches of fear that would come and get inside you and cripple you. And they will scurry away. They will be gone. They'll disappear. And that's what he's on about. That's what the message of Christmas is about. Fear not. You know, I've had so many unusual number of funerals this year. All of them almost have been over at Putney Vale. And I love walking through that cemetery, a beautiful cemetery, most beautiful headstones with the most beautiful words and engraving. And when I do walk through, I often walk through and I just say, Lord, give me perspective. Life is fleeting. Life is short. May what we do here for Christ be meaningful. May it count every day. And that's my prayer as I walk through and look at the stones. And then I sometimes wonder about those people. Some people are taken young or fall young. And I know that that's out of their control. But I wonder about those who've lived long lives that are buried there. And I sometimes wonder how many of their dreams and their visions and their ideas actually are buried with them and never were met, never came to fruition, because fear gripped them and they were afraid to try. I mean, it's a crazy thing. I don't think everybody walking through cemeteries thinks like I do, but I sometimes wonder about that. How many inventions are lying there that God gave that never made it because someone was afraid to try? They had the idea. Or how many schools are lying there because somebody wanted to, but they never thought they could do it, and it's sort of there. How many, you know, even churches maybe lying in the grave because somebody had an idea to start a church but was afraid, and I'm talking about a God-given idea. I just wonder about that. And when I do that, I wonder if it's because fear was allowed to get its icy grip on the lives sometimes of people and their dreams and would not let go. And then I come to this point always when I walk. And I think of that servant where the Lord gave him gifts, where the Lord gave him talent, where the Lord said to him, I am giving you work to do. But that servant was so afraid to try, so afraid to use what God had given him or her, that they buried it in the ground. Why? Because of fear. He said to the Lord, I was afraid. I was afraid. And how I say, God, Lord, God forbid, God forbid that I would be that servant. Please, Lord, never let me be afraid not to try, not to use what you've given me. I would rather die than be that person that is scared and buries the vision in the ground, buries the idea in the ground. There you are. Thank you. I don't want to be that person. And we don't want to be that church. God forbid that we allow fear to cripple us, fear to paralyze us, and not reach what God has laid on our hearts to do. I don't want to be that person. We don't want to be that church. So, God forbid that we let those dreams that are God dreams. Now, sometimes we have our own dreams. I know that. Sometimes we may be running on our own ideas. I know that. That's why we have counselors. That's why we have elders. That's why we have brothers and sisters with discernment to talk to about. But most of the time when I'm given an idea or a vision to strengthen or take the church forward, often it is the Holy Spirit prompting. We know what is a God idea. We know what is a God vision. It may not be for now, but we know that God is stirring us. Now, God forbid that we let those dreams of revival fade away unchallenged because deep down we were gripped by fear. God forbid that we shrink from, you know, just from even the front line of caring for the homeless, because they are so difficult sometimes to talk to and manage. God forbid that we shrink from feeding the homeless and caring for the homeless because they are so difficult to look after and because we are afraid of them. Oh, God forbid that we would ever be afraid of caring for the homeless in our community. God forbid that we hold back from engaging with our young people, especially those caught up in the awful darkness of gang violence and poverty on the streets and the drugs that are infesting the community. God forbid that we hold back from reaching out to them, from getting to know them, because we are afraid of them or what might happen. God forbid that we allow fear to hold us back. God forbid that we become a people crippled by fear. The question is, if you or I were to die today, think of this. If you or I were to die today, what God-given, God-inspired dreams may die with us unmentioned, untried? What books will die with us unwritten? What ideas will die with you or me because fear gripped hold of us and we thought, I can't even have the courage to share this idea? But the Christmas message says, do not fear. You've got to try. We've got to try. How tragic for any one of us to come to our last day on earth and realize that we have not lived at all. We haven't even tried to reach those God-given dreams and ideas that which burned so deep in our hearts. You know, at the end of our first 8 months at Petra, when we took over Petra, the Christian school in Bulawayo, Petra was suffering. It was struggling. There was a spirit amongst the community of schools and of independent schools that said, why do we need another private school? We don't need another private school in Bulawayo, even if it is a Christian school with a message. There were some in the community that said, Petra is a dreg school. It's only getting the dregs of the children that don't go to all the posh schools and all the schools that are running, and all we've got are the dregs, and all we've got is the teachers who are the dregs, and the confidence was shaken. When we used to play games against other schools with our cricket and our rugby teams, they used to call us the Petra fairies or something, because we couldn't play. They overran us. They overwhelmed us. And the children felt like they had no confidence. And the parents felt they had no confidence. And that feeling got into the commerce, the world of commerce, because for the next year, we needed to get loan to build the next block of classrooms, which was significant. It was a significant loan that we needed to receive from the bank. And Barclays Bank in Bulawayo had heard, got a sense of what was going on, that there was no confidence in the school, and they refused us the loan right near the end of the year, almost crippling our opportunity to build the next phase, because we were building each year, we were bringing in new children. And that's how the year ended, and I went for a walk. And I just walked around the school, and it was in early days, there was building everywhere, building sites and the fields, and I just said, Lord, what do we do? Love the school, love the potential of the school, but Lord, what do we do? And I went back that day, and someone had photocopied, I think our secretary had photocopied a saying from one of the American presidents. And it's a quote that you'll remember. And they put it on my desk. I think they realized that even I was feeling a bit overwhelmed. And fear is contagious, you know. Fear, once it grips a community, it spreads. And it spreads from one person to another. And people were feeling, it was like there was this cloud of fear. And I read these words, it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man or woman who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, who spends himself or herself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if they fail, at least fail while daring greatly, so that their place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. And I read that. I said, thank you, Lord, for that. And we were about to publish our first magazine for the year, school magazine. Again, I'd been against a lot of criticism, a lot of pressure. How can we afford a magazine when we can't even get a loan? But felt it important to chronicle all that God had done in the magazine. And I said to them, please, in the front page, when anybody opens this magazine, the first Petra magazine, please let them read this. Let them read this. And I believe God did that. I believe God used it, because not long after the magazine had gone out, I sensed a change. I sensed a new fire in the heart of the parents, a new fire in the Petra Trust. And I think it was more than that. It was prayer and it was other things, but it was also the words that reminded us that we should not fear. And you've got to try. We should never fear, but we've got to try. Now, in 2 weeks' time, the council is going to make a decision. They're going to let us know whether we can have our church cafe. I'm going to say Petra Cafe. Maybe that's a good name, Richard. Petra Cafe. We're looking for a name. And we don't know what they're going to say. But I want to tell you this. I can assure you, church, that we have given it our very best. We have given it our best. We believe with all our heart that this will encourage the church, that this will strengthen our communication, our vision of connecting with the community for Christ in so many ways. We don't know what they're going to say, but I'll tell you this. If they say no, we've tried. We haven't shrunk. We haven't given back because of opposition. We haven't stepped back. We've come back with everything we've got, with prayer, with thinking, with strategy, with discussion, with wisdom, I believe, and we've given it our best. But you know what? It'll be like yesterday's rugby game. If we don't win, I'll still feel that we can stand before the Lord and say, Lord, with dignity, we tried. We tried. But we've got 2 weeks to pray. We've got 2 weeks to fast. We've got 2 weeks to say, Lord, shape this decision. And then we'll talk about the theology of what that decision will mean afterwards. And we can do that. But God is good. God is good. But what he calls us to get into that arena. He calls us to fight and not fear. He calls us to take the steps and the dreams that we have, even if they may not fit for now, even if they're there, keep them there. Don't give up on them. Wait, you'll never be amazed when the opening comes, the opportunity, that that dream will find its foot, find its place in Christ. Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid, Joseph. Do not be afraid, shepherds. I've got this, says the Lord. Amen. May God encourage us from this precious story. Amen. Let's close as we continue now, and we're going to have our closing hymn. Let's worship him with confidence. Let us be a church that is in the arena, will always be, by God's grace, in the arena. Amen.